If there's one Aussie act that is a guaranteed party, it's Peking f***ing Duck. Canberra boys Adam and Ruben have conquered audiences around the country and the world with their brand of wings to the wall, electronic heaters that slap you in the face over and over and over again. Honey, we don't need no fake magic. Ain't me money, you come by this paper or plastic. This week, they're letting you into the VIP section of the party to talk about the song that catapulted them into the stratosphere. I'm Lucy Smith. Welcome to Inspired. On Peking Duck's biggest song yet, High. Hi, featuring Nicole Miller. It came out in 2014. It was your number two in the Hottest 100 of that year. Four times platinum, the ARIA for Best Dance Release. And we're about to take a deep dive into it. Wow. Ruben and Adam, join you now from Peking Duck. How did it feel hearing that back?
That is really trippy when it's all stacked up like that in a list, wrapped up in plastic.
It was the year that, you know, our lives completely sort of changed, and it was like, okay,
music, we actually got a couple.
Music is a thing for us
now.
Yeah,
we actually got a couple people lining up for our shows after that.
So this came out 2014, but take me back to the beginning of Peking Duck. Where were you at?
2010, we started like learning how to produce music, and we started getting amongst it in Canberra, amongst the Canberra scene, watching local DJs at the time. We were big fans of the Aston Shuffle. Your love. And we thought everything they were doing, just two dudes from Canberra, was like everything that we wanted to be doing.
And they were collaborating with people that we saw as gods. And I guess we still do see as gods. People like Bloody Beetroots. They were cool with them, and we were like, if two dudes from Canberra can do this, like, I reckon we could give it a crack at least.
There's definitely no harm in having a try and just getting production software, because we became big fans of like the Aston Shuffle, and of course big fans of Beetroots.
Yeah.
Heaps of DJ duos that we were very big fans of.
That's funny.
And we were like, we want to do what they're doing.
So at that time, what we were DJing and what we were listening to was all around 128 BPM. Pretty hard, thrashy kind of electro house stuff. And I guess we were trying to emulate that sound for a long time off the rip of us trying to produce. And when I say trying, I really mean trying. Like, we were just throwing shit together and seeing how it all sounded. It made no sense. You fast forward, I guess, I don't know, a couple years after that, did a song called The Way You Are. And that was the first step towards kind of writing something that wasn't just made for nightclubs, if that makes sense. Prior to that, it was all stuff you play when you're DJing at 4 a.m. in a nightclub.
So was it kind of moving out of the rave cave territory? Was that that, did that spark that desire for you guys that maybe you wanted to inject a little bit more into your music rather than beats and rather than just bangers, so to speak?
Totally.
Was that the inspiration there?
Definitely. The inspiration was also euphoria. As corny as that sounds, it was kind of like trying to capture a feeling. I mean, you know, the feeling in club music is primal, and there's something so dope about that. It feels primal. It's a bunch of people in a room dancing to a beat and getting dirty with it, which is, it's incredible.
And it showed a difference, I guess, in our lifestyles, because we were just, you know, spending our weekends in rave caves in Canberra and when we first moved to Sydney, but we also, you know, started going to the beach every day when we moved to Sydney, and so we're like, maybe we want music that you can also play outside of the club, like maybe when you're at the beach or driving in your car, like on a road trip, or just listen to it softly and still enjoy it. Adam had this song that was like 128 BPM.
Yeah, I think it was like 122 or 126, maybe 128. It was definitely quick. At the moment, it's 100 BPM. the one that everyone knows. But I was working on this beat, and there wasn't anything super special about it. It had something there. It definitely felt euphoric in the chords and the feeling of it all. But I remember sitting in my girlfriend at the time's bedroom and working on it on my laptop, just out of the laptop speakers. And I think I'd actually bumped, like accidentally, the tempo in the top left of Ableton Live and like hit it down, and it slowed it down heaps. And then once it had slowed down, it was like, there's a feeling there now. There's more room to play with everything, as opposed to just like kind of getting it all and trying to take it all. There's more room to breathe with it. And then with that, the drum beat came very naturally because there was so much space to play.
And then it sounded just way more like the stuff that we wanted to be doing at the time. It was like, wait, this is seriously something fun.
It's funny you say space there, because not only that space, but I think there's that atmosphere there as well. And there's room to add more vocals. Let's talk Nicole Miller.
Yeah, so we first heard Nicole's voice on a Cosmos Midnight track. It was sick, and we were like, oh, and Nicole's in Sydney. Yeah, we hit her up. I think it was on like Facebook Messenger or something.
It was.
And we're like, got a tune. What do you think of it? Do you want to try, I don't know, get in the studio or just send over some ideas? And
the beat was actually done at that point. Like, yeah, not done, done, but it was finished. Pretty much there, yeah.
So it was like, cool. She sent over like a bunch of ideas, and there was this one where it was like, uh-huh. And we're like, oh, that sounds sick. Like, it's got a cool tone to it. Her voice sounded great.
She sent over a lot of ideas, and there was, yeah, that's that one that and, really stuck
and,
out.
And so we went to our, like, yeah. We tried to just riff off that.
Yeah, make that the best.
And so that was just, we built everything just around that little one out of like 30 ideas she sent over. Wow.
So then we're all like, okay, we could make it go like, instead of ha ha, it could be like ha 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 ha, you know, and that's like.
And get rid of the ha ha.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had some ideas together, and then we're like, wait, we should just get straight in a studio tomorrow. Let's just book a proper one with microphones.
And that was our first time in a proper studio as well.
So we walked into these studios and we're like, what is this? This is epic. And we had a recording engineer for the day, and we're like, this is going to be nuts. We're going to record vocals on a track. And it just felt so, we were so out of our element, but
it worked because Nicole was killing it on every take. She'd sing on top of a take that she'd done prior, and it sounded even better. And then she'd sing again, and we're like, let's layer the fuck out of her vocals. So it's like this big wall of Nicole's vocal, a big chunky wall. I'm high and lazy.
We didn't even write lyrics until like right after all that.
Correct.
And then we got in and we started thinking, all right, we need lyrics.
Yeah.
So we started writing the lyrics based around what those melodies were, because it was all gibberish. And we were like, maybe we should make it kind of about, you know, because for us, we'd been smoking lots of bozzies back in the day. And and yeah, we thought, you know, maybe it's about, you know, breaking out of something that you're stuck in, like.
Because we'd stop smoking weed, and as soon as we stopped smoking weed, we were just better people.
We're just like, you know, getting more things done, making more out of our days, and
we were fine because we'd let it go. But no, it was basically
stuck in a phase, misguided by mistake. Stuck in a phase. It's guided by mistakes. Your addictive
poison is dragging me down. But that's it, right?
The addictive poison was dragging us down.
It could be anything, though. You know, it could relate to something like that, or it could relate to a.
Through Nicole's voice, it could, you know, relate to, you know, be stuck in a relationship or something like that.
So we started writing it from the perspective of a character. Like,
yeah, maybe the verse is about being stuck, and then the chorus is about sort of just pushing through it and going,
breaking free.
You know what? Screw this. I'm going to make this about me. And Nicole was amazing to, you know, to help put all that together with us. And yeah, the lyrics, they came together pretty quickly.
They came together super quick.
And we realized, yeah, it could relate to, you know, not just, you know, smoking weed. It could relate to anything.
And lyrically and sonically as well, there is that high, which is the euphoria that made you want to start this in the beginning.
For sure. Yeah, it's pretty funny how it kind of came full circle.
What about that point where we're like, oh, far out, we've heard it so much now, we don't even know if it's good or not. You get to that point with a song where you're like, either need to release it or delete it, and we let the song go out to iTunes, which was the big thing at the time.
It was popping, man.
And we went to Miami for WMC. And
we were in Miami looking at the charts in Australia. It was going up, and we're like, nah, bullshit. This isn't real. So when we got back from that trip in America, we got booked to play a show in Perth. So we flew back to Sydney, and
we went straight from Miami to Perth.
Yeah.
And we got to Perth, got a lift to the club, which we'd played at before. We saw for the first time in our lives a line of maybe like 80 meters or something at this small nightclub.
Wow.
And I remember looking at Ruben, I was like, bullshit. And he's like, dude.
We asked the promoter, yeah, whoever was driving, we were like, so who's on tonight? And he was like, oh, no, it's just you guys. And we were like, what?
Yeah, that was the moment. I guess it sunk in and it was like, this is legit. And that was one of the best nights of our lives because we played and everyone was like, when we played the first dunk, dunk, dunk of high, everyone's like, ah. And then we kind of looked at each other. We were like, damn, this is good.
This is a hit.
Yeah, it felt pretty exciting.
So how does it feel playing it live? Do you still get a rush or a feeling when it is kind of all that noise and it is that build?
Yeah, when there's that many people enjoying themselves at the one moment, yeah. I mean, regardless of what's going on, whether it's from the music or whatever, it's always a good time. So that's definitely something
super,
that we hold on to.
Super nice, yeah.
What's the weirdest place you've heard the song played?
There's been quite a few
crazy,
weird little moments like that. But
one of our friends sent a video of someone playing it in England, like one of the radio stations. They were like in a car, in a taxi or something, and they're like, it's on the radio. But the radio was playing it on like, it must have been like a dance station or something. They were playing it at 128 BPM, the tempo that Adam was like, I don't know if it works at this tempo.
BBC, it was BBC.
Yeah, on BBC. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
And did it make you regret slowing it down?
No. Okay. It made us realize, thank God we slowed it down.
Thank God we slowed it down.
For Inspired, that was Professional Party Boys Peking Duck on their platinum hit High, featuring Nicole Miller. And if you liked that episode, why not listen back to dance icons The Prodigy talking about their literal heater, Firestarter. I'm a Firestarter. Liam Howlett and the late Keith Flint, in one of his last interviews before passing away in 2019, they shared the story of the song that made them global superstars.
Well, I went round to Liam's and the backing track or whatever you call it was almost done for Firestart, and I said, if you was going to put me on anything, that would be what I'd be on. And he said, well, okay, then we'll grab a pen, paper, and let's write something. And that was it.
Keith just started writing lyrics, and the lyrics are like a description of himself. I'm a fire starter, twisted fire starter. Usually with Keith, if you don't mind me saying, basically like it's usually the first or second take that's got the energy and got the fire.
It's crazy the amount of times you do it, but every time it still feels fresh. But I think there's like a responsibility to the song to just always attack it. And I'm so random myself. I don't think I've ever done the vocals the same since the day I did it. So just in that keeps it fresh.
Find it in the feed with other episodes from Amy Shark, Paul Kelly, Tame Impala, and more. Thanks for listening, and remember to rate and subscribe so we can grow this podcast. Inspired is produced by Nick Gerber for Triple J. I'm Lucy Smith.